The story has been told about a pastor who just started serving in a new congregation. And for 8 Sundays in a row, he preached on the importance of baptism. Finally, on one Monday after the eighth, or the Monday after the eighth Sunday, the chairman of the elders approached him and he said, "Preacher, we've got the point about the baptism. We get it. We think you need to preach on something different." And so the pastor thanked the chairman and he says, "I didn't know that everyone felt that way. Why don't you just open up your Bible and pick a text and I'll preach on that." So the elder was just like, "My goodness." He opens up his Bible, puts his finger down. And it falls on Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. He says, "Okay, Pastor, I want you to preach on this, Matthew 3, verse 10, where it says, 'The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down.'" He says, "Okay, that's a great passage. I'll preach on that next Sunday." And so he gathers his study material, and he gets ready for the week, or for the next Sunday, and the next Sunday he gets up to the pulpit, and he reads, "The axe is ready, already at the root of the tree. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down." He says, "Amen, what a wonderful passage. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Why would anyone do that? Well, they would do that, obviously, so that they could cut down those trees, so they could back up the creek, so that they could have enough water, so they could baptize." Don't worry, I don't have a preoccupation with baptism. when I think about it, baptism is one of those topics that makes many people somewhat uncomfortable. Of all the issues that divide Christians, none is more hotly debated than baptism. In fact, for centuries, godly men and women have come down on different sides of this question. Entire denominations have sprung up as a result of disagreements over the mode, over the meaning, over the purpose of baptism. In fact, I recently came across a book title that sums it all up. It's entitled, "Baptism, the Water That Divides." And the widespread response to such a controversy and confusion has been somewhat predictable. Some believers refuse to even enter into the discussion as to what and how and when to baptize. They agree to disagree and therefore never really take a definitive stand. That is a legitimate position, but it's not an answer to the question of baptism. The scriptures speak clearly about baptism, and those who believe the Bible must search the scriptures until we find a satisfactory answer, until we find the answers as to what baptism is really all about. There is no virtue in ambiguity when the Bible speaks with clarity. So let's make things clear this morning. Baptism is a lot like a wedding ring. You know that? Baptism is like a wedding ring. Both the wedding ring and baptism, they symbolize transactions. A wedding ring symbolizes marriage, just as baptism symbolizes salvation. However, wearing a wedding ring, if I were to take this wedding ring off and invite one of the Ides girls to come up front and I put it on her finger, it would be way too big. But just because she's wearing that ring does not mean that she is married. You know, we know she's too young to be married. And in the same way, a person can be baptized without ever having actually accepted Jesus. Unfortunately, people are baptized without having accepted Jesus Christ. And that's done far too often. In fact, I am one of those people. When I was baptized at the age of 17, I did not want to be baptized. I was not a Christian. All I was waiting for was somebody to say, "Do you want to be baptized?" And I would have boldly declared, "No, I'm not a Christian." But it was put forth that at that point, I'm going to be baptized whether I want to or not. And people get baptized when they don't want to be. People get baptized when they don't even know what they're doing. They're just doing it because it's fun. Because it's I don't know, just people do it. And it doesn't make you a Christian if you get baptized. Baptism in itself has absolutely no saving power. In fact, today, we've got a tank full of water that came out of a garden hose. There's nothing special about this tank other than it is water. And it's holding it well. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Salvation is a free gift that God grants to all those of us who simply have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ by the grace of God. It's not through baptism. Baptism is only a symbol of our faith in Jesus Christ. And the purpose of baptism is that it identifies us openly and publicly with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And so to extend the parallel of the wedding ring, if a person, especially women, if they don't wear their wedding rings, often men don't wear them because of the nature of their work. But if a woman's not wearing her wedding ring, it's fair game, isn't it? It symbolizes that, well, she's not married. And so it was in the New Testament times. If a person was not baptized, you could probably assume that he or she was not a believer. And on this, we must be clear. Baptism is a symbol of salvation. And it's only a symbol. But like the wedding ring, it's such an effective symbol that it should not ever be taken for granted. This morning, we're going to examine this symbol and try to understand exactly what it symbolizes or what it represents. And I believe that when we come to an understanding on the symbolism behind baptism, then we will gain a fuller picture, a greater understanding of how we are to live our lives for Jesus Christ. So I want to look at a passage from Romans chapter 6 this morning. In Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 3, it says this. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." If we look really closely at this passage in Romans, we can see that baptism represents three things. It represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And we're going to first take a look at the aspect of a death. The death and the burial in baptism. Many of us know that Jesus, God's only Son, died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. That we might have a spiritual life. A renewed life with Him, that relationship that was lost because of our sin can be restored. He died for our sins as payment. And we can have eternal life with Him. And according to Romans 6:23, that the wages or the payment of our sin is death. We are supposed to die for our sins. That's the deal. We sin, we die. Now, I'm not talking a physical death. Yes, we physically die at some point. I'm talking spiritually. Our spiritual life just dies because we sin. But Jesus stepped in. He took our place. He died on that cross physically for us to be the payment for our spiritual sins. He in a sense, He sat in the electric chair for us. He took that penalty. And we spent weeks going through the death of Christ on the cross and what He said on the cross and what He actually did for us. He took our capital punishment upon Himself. He died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb in the ground for you and for me, so that we can have that restored relationship if we only believe in Him. We no longer live according to the ways of the world. We must spiritually die to the world, knowing that this world does not hold a spiritual life for us, but only spiritual death. If we follow the world's ways, we're doing what Matthew 16:25 says when He said, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." When we seek the things of this world, we're essentially killing ourselves. But when we seek the things of God, we've got eternal life. When we put that verse in Matthew 20 or 16 into plain English, it says, "Whoever desires to save his physical, earthly life will lose his spiritual life. But whoever sacrifices his physical, earthly life for my sake will find spiritual life." We're able to live according to the rules and the regulations of the kingdom of heaven when we crucify ourselves spiritually, or when we take up our cross, as Jesus said. We must crucify our former life of sin in order to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul expressed it in Galatians 2:20. We've got some beautiful banners that tell us what it says. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me." Amen? We are crucified with Christ whenever we accept Him as our Lord and our Savior. And yet somehow we continue to remain alive on this earth. We identify with Christ with baptism. You see, we see this idea expressed in our main passage in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, where it says, "Our old self was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." And in baptism, when we are placed under that water, we are publicly declaring that we have crucified our former life of sin. The sinful nature is being buried. It's being washed away. And in baptism, we're making a commitment before God and before men that we will seek to live a life apart from sin. Now, baptism also represents the resurrection. If it didn't, we'd be stuck under that water. And I'm not sure how long we're going to leave you under there this morning, but no. But baptism is like resurrection. Jesus died for our sins. But if He had only died and remained in the tomb, that would not have been sufficient to atone for our sins. His death was not what saved us. The resurrection proves that Jesus Christ has power over death, the death that we are destined to undergo. And since death is the result of the entrance of sin into this world, Jesus Christ has the power over sin. He has the power over sin in our lives as well. And the resurrection shows us that Jesus has the power over both sin and death. And the symbolism behind baptism is very powerful. We need to realize that we are baptized. We're reenacting that the glorious Easter morning, the Good Friday, all rolled up into one. When Jesus broke free from that tomb. And that Jesus' very own presence is among us during that moment. We are baptized. He is here with us, living in us. Whenever we witness the baptism of a fellow brother or sister in Christ, we are privileged to behold a glimmer of the splendor of the glory of Jesus, of His very own resurrection Easter morning. If we've been baptized, then we are to live in the victory and the power of the resurrection in order to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. When you are baptized, you are in fact visually preaching the gospel. Have you thought about that? You're visually preaching the gospel. As you stand in the water waiting to be baptized, you symbolize Jesus dying on the cross. As you're lowered into the water, you are providing a visual demonstration that Jesus was buried in the tomb. As you come up out of the water, you're picturing Jesus rising from the dead. And since you personally are being baptized, you're also saying, I died with Jesus. I was buried with Him, and now I'm raised with Christ to brand new life. And it's my intent to live a life under His leadership for all of His glory from this point on. In short, your baptism, you're preaching a sermon without using words at all. How many of you have preached a sermon without using words? This morning, I want to encourage all of you who are Christians, who've already been baptized, to reconsider, to think about the symbolism of baptism, of what it represents and what it means in your own life. Did you just go through the motions, as I did when I was 17? Did you just go through the motions, just whatever, make people happy, get them off my back? Or did you really mean what you were doing? Did you demonstrate, like I did later on in college? I had a whole class on how to be baptized, and we got in that tank at Briarcrest. And I talked with the guys in my class and said, you know, guys, here's my story about my baptism that wasn't really a baptism. I said, would somebody baptize me today in front of these witnesses who are my class? And that was my baptism, my true baptism, where I believe with all my heart and could declare with all of my heart that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. I didn't want to scream, no, don't do this. I don't want to do this. I could declare loud and clear that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. I could declare that He was crucified for me. He was crucified and the sin in my life, and I was living the victory and the power of the resurrection. So if you've been baptized and you're not living according to the testimony of your baptism and what it represented, you really need to change things around, because we don't want to make a mockery. We don't want to make a mockery of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. But if you're not a Christian this morning, then I first want to encourage you to accept the free gift of eternal life. That's gained by having faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, the one who came and died on the cross. The one who took our sin upon Himself and died. He was buried and rose again. And through that, victory over death and sin came about. Our sins were atoned for. They're taken away. They're gone. As we can go before God and say, forgive us for our sins. I know I'm a sinner. So I encourage you to accept that free eternal gift. If you truly believe that Jesus died for your sins, He rose from the dead in order to conquer sin and death for you, you will be saved. Accept Christ into your heart. Claim Him as your Savior and your Lord, and identify yourself with Christ. Now this morning we got one person who wants to identify himself with Christ by symbolically crucifying his life, dying to sin, being buried with Him in the water, being resurrected with Him by rising out of that water. So David, do you want to come? Well, he comes. He's going to come and he's going to share his testimony. While he's sharing his testimony, I'm going to take my shoes off.
I'm nervous, but I'll do the best I can. I was not always a believer. For many years, I was skeptical. Now, through the teaching of Pastor Dave and the wisdom of my wife, I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I am His from this day forward. For years, I struggled with the decision to follow Jesus. This past December, I made a true decision to follow Jesus. I am thankful to everyone in the church for helping me understand the meaning and importance of Jesus Christ in my life. Baptism for me today is a celebration of Christ's baptism, and I want to show everyone today, by my baptism, that Jesus is truly my Savior.